You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
I'm going to call this segment today a little bit about the chemistry of the human-animal bond. As you remember, if you took your chemistry class in high school, a catalyst is defined as a substance that accelerates a chemical reaction. While at Tails Humane Society in DeKalb, Illinois, it's the chemistry between dogs, cats, and teenagers in need that has sparked some amazing changes. Injured animals and teens at risk are thriving, thanks to an innovative program. Catalyst is teaching life skills and compassion to teens, and the shelter animals receive that extra attention they need in order to become good adoption candidates. We'll be right back after the short break with Beth Drake. She's the executive director of Tails Humane Society. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Do you love your dog? Then you'll love feeding him mouth-watering, all-natural treats, lovingly handmade by a professional caterer who wanted the very best for her dogs. Make no mistake about it, these are not ordinary dog treats. These are doggy delights, like breakfast banana biscotti, honey bear peanut butter balls, yummy apple cinnamon mini cakes, and so much more. Your dog will howl in delight. And now you can get a scrumptious sample pack by going to dingersdogtreats.com. It's a $25 value, yours for just $9.95 through this special radio offer. That's D-I-N-G-E-R-S, dingersdogtreats.com. Every one of these gourmet doggy treats is handmade from the finest ingredients and taste tested on our own dogs. Your dog will love them. Get $25 worth of doggy delights now for just $9.95. Go to dingersdogtreats.com now. That's D-I-N-G-E-R-S, dingersdogtreats.com. Yum.
Attention passengers, please fasten your seatbelts, put your seatbacks and sleeping pets in their full upright position, and prepare for takeoff.
Pet Life Radio presents Travel Tales, the show where you'll get great travel ideas on perfect places for you and your pet. From Paris to paradise, south of the border to the South Seas, Travel Tales will give you cool tips on fun vacation destinations to travel with your pet, pet-friendly hotels, and advice on how to travel safely and happily with your furry best friends. So, get ready to pack the bags and the bones with your Travel Tales hosts, Susan Sims and Nicholas Veslowski, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Beth, thank you so much for being with us today. This program just sounds fantastic. So tell people exactly, what is the Catalyst Program?
Well, the Catalyst Program is kind of the brainchild of our Catalyst coordinator, whose name is Sam Lenzer. She's on staff here. She and I kind of created the program together. And the idea behind the Catalyst program is to use the pretty much universal appeal of animals and pets specifically to kind of break through some of the barriers that at-risk kids have sometimes. They often have difficulties relating to other kids and quite frequently have difficulties relating to adults, especially in supervisory positions. And so What we have decided to do, what we did, was create the Catalyst program. And through that program, at-risk kids get a chance to learn a lot of stuff that they would not normally have an opportunity to learn. And they do things like assist our, depending on what their interest is, they do things like assist our veterinarian with surgeries, if she's doing surgeries, or with animal treatments. They assist our behavior counselors with training dogs and cats through positive reinforcement training methods. They assist our staff in working with animals that have special needs, and it's had a great success. We've got at least one child who's autistic who comes in once a month or as frequently as her mom can bring her in, and she's made some great strides in communication and understanding how animals relate to each other and thus how people sometimes relate to each other. So it's been a great program. It's very rewarding for the staff who've been involved in it as well as the kids who are program participants.
How long has Catalyst program been in existence?
It's a young program. It's only been in existence for about a year. So it was created really close to the end of 2007, and we sort of hit the ground running with it. And it's gone great strides just in the first year.
I think this is just a great idea. Is it something that you or Sam had had some experience in the past, you know, having some difficulties in your own life? Is that how you came up with it?
Well, actually, Sam entered my office one day, and she sat down, and she said she'd noticed some of the kids that were already enrolled in TAIL's volunteer program that had really risen to the top as far as their responsibility levels and the things that they were willing to take on. And they had approached her on numerous occasions asking to take on more responsibilities. And we knew some of the backgrounds of some of these kids, and we knew that they really kind of fell into the at-risk category with regard to their past being they had, some of them had come from abuse and neglect backgrounds. Sam relates very well to that because she herself had experienced some pretty severe abuse and neglect as a kid. And so she, those kids, I think, kind of gravitated toward her because they have a kind of a natural connection there. And she understood that they were probably expressing their interest in learning more because of their connection with the animals here at TAILS. They weren't necessarily thriving in other parts of their life, but when they came here to TAILS, it was a place for them to relax and for them to really shine. And they've really flourished in this program. And so she and I talked about it and discussed what it would take in order to create a program, what it would look like, who would be in charge of it. And obviously Sam wanted to be and has just absolutely done a fabulous job with it and kind of evolved from there.
Have you had a good relationship with some of these organizations that may be working with children that are having problems? Do they look at this program going, wow, this can really help these teenagers, and are they supportive of you?
Yeah, absolutely they are. We are, one of our biggest issues is funding, and so Sam can only spend, she only is on the payroll anyway for about 10 hours for Catalyst time a week, and but she spends more like 30 hours of her 20 additional hours of her own time per week doing this. But yeah, where I was going with that is that the other organizations, we have a domestic violence center that has expressed an interest. We have a homeless shelter that has expressed an interest, as well as a variety of youth service organizations that understand the importance of breaking through the barriers that at-risk kids create for themselves. And so, we've gotten a lot of support from executive directors in those other organizations.
This seems like a great way of helping so many different people. I know there have been studies done showing that when you have a child that starts to abuse animals, you know, some of the horrible things that can occur, oftentimes those same children grow into adults that now start abusing people and children themselves. So it sounds as though you can break some real serious barriers, that you can also prevent some real serious problems later on down the line with a program that seems so kind of innocuous, just a child helping an animal.
Yeah, it's interesting. If you look at a lot of the serial killers, the really serious guys like Dahmer and Gacy, there is a history of animal abuse that started when they were kids, and that's a common theme that runs through a lot of people who grow up to be very violent adults. And it often relates, experts think, to them not being able to form, to empathize with other beings. And kids that grow up in very violent homes, in homes where there is very little or no compassion shown to family members as well as to pets, don't naturally learn to be compassionate people. But when you can inject compassion, when you can show them that pets have feelings, when you drop a dog or a puppy on the floor, it hurts them, and it hurts them in many of the same ways that it would hurt you if somebody were to drop you on the floor, or if you pick a pet up in the wrong way, or cause any kind of discomfort or pain to a pet, they feel it just as you would. If you can make those connections with kids starting at a pretty young age, you can influence who they are when they become adults. And yeah, I think that if we can impact these kids in that way, that would have just amazing consequences with who they become as adults.
How many children have you been able to affect so far? How many have been involved in your program? I know you haven't been in existence all that long. That Catalyst has only been there since 2007, but during that time.
There have been 10 kids so far that are enrolled in the program. They are all the same kids, pretty much, that were enrolled at the beginning. It's what we're finding is that there is a lot of time, and it's probably not surprising, there's a lot of time commitment that's required to assist kids. They need a lot of one-on-one supervision. We are allowing them to do things here at Tails that oftentimes need quite a bit of direct supervision in order for us to be assured that they aren't going to hurt themselves and that the animals are getting the best care possible. So Sam is in the process. She's the Catalyst coordinator again. She is in the process of reaching out to other adults who can act as mentors to these kids and assist them in learning more new skills and increasing their responsibility level. But currently we have 10 kids. We have an additional, at least that many, who would like to be part of the program, but we just do not have the funding in order to open it up to any more kids at this moment.
I was reading in your local newspaper, the Daily Chronicle, that the Catalyst program is a two-phase program. Could you explain a little bit about what these two phases are?
Yeah, well, it's been interesting. It began as a two-phase program, and what we envisioned happening was, as I said, Sam recognized that there were a number of kids who were kind of, as we said, rising to the top with regard to their interest level and their responsibility level here at Tails, who were already Tails volunteers. And our goal with them was to start them as kind of phase one in the Catalyst program and get them more and more involved in the daily aspects of the care of animals and veterinary practices and those kinds of things, with the eventual goal, once they were ready and once they were comfortable, with them to form peer-to-peer mentoring relationships with at-risk kids. And what we've found, surprisingly, it was a bit surprising to us, is that a good number of those kids that were destined to be phase one kids are at-risk kids. So it's taken more time than we had intended for us to focus on these kids, and we're spending lots of time making sure that their needs are met. We're setting them up in as many positive situations as possible to increase their confidence and help them deal with some of the issues that they're dealing with and connecting them with other human service organizations. But We haven't done a lot of delving into phase two, which was going to be reaching out to other organizations to recruit at-risk kids, because we're finding that the kids that were in phase one were already at-risk kids. So we're kind of adapting the program, and that's what happens oftentimes in youthful programs, is that your plans don't always come out exactly the way you intended, but the effects on these kids are still astounding, and lots of positive reports from parents and from the kids themselves.
Why do you think it's so much easier for these children to relate to animals versus an adult? Because here you have an adult who has all this training, and sometimes they just don't seem to be able to get through to these children, where a puppy or a kitten is able to immediately just, I relate to you. I see where you're coming from.
Well, my thoughts are that a couple of things. One is that when an at-risk kid, a kid that has been abused or neglected or both, when they encounter a new adult, a stranger, or somebody that is introduced to them as somebody that can help them, they have oftentimes had very poor experiences with adults. Adults for them have meant people who have hurt them, either physically or emotionally or both. That's not generally the baggage that comes with pets. Kids that come, especially kids that come from domestic violence situations, often, and adults that come from domestic violence situations as well, oftentimes form very strong bonds with the family pet if there is a pet in the family. And if they've had experience with an animal before, it's generally been a good one. And chances are that's because pets don't pass judgment on you. They're happy to see you. They bond to you regardless of, you know, what you look like or how happy you are or how sad you are. Oftentimes they are more, especially with dogs being very in tune to human emotion, dogs will often gravitate toward somebody who's kind of sad, and they'll snuggle with them. And if you're a kid who has gone through abuse in the past, if you've had a pet before, chances are that pet has been very, very important to you. And so you have created in your mind negative impressions of people, oftentimes of adults, and oftentimes of other kids too, who can be kind of cruel at school. But you probably have created pretty good impressions of pets. And even if you have never had any real experience with pets, at least they don't come with the baggage. And when you have a chance to interact with a dog or a cat in a positive environment, you very soon understand why it is that people want pets, because they are so in tune with human emotions and with the needs of people, and they are so eager to please and so willing to just be with you. And that's really exactly what kids need who have not had that kind of bonding before, who may have come from a very dysfunctional home.
It's kind of like having a live teddy bear. When you become a teenager, right, they might look down at you carrying around a teddy bear. But carrying around a puppy or a kitten, and it's just, that warmth. And one of the best things about my job is having those puppies and kittens coming in and that kind of sour milk breath when they give you that little kiss on the nose. Like, it's a great day. I don't care what happens.
Yep, puppy breath, yep.
Well, right now we're talking to Beth Drake. She's the executive director of the Tails Humane Society in DeKalb, Illinois. We've been talking about the Catalyst program. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back from this break, and also about animal shelters in general. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet Magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent!
Pet Planet Magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pet Life Radio proudly presents DSPN, the Dog Sports and Performance Network. Get ready to unleash the dog sports enthusiast in all of us
From ski joring and mushing to racing, agility, and competition, this is the place to learn all about the dog sports and activities that you can do with your furry best friend and canine competitor. So get ready for game time. DSPN with your host, Lori Williams. Every week, on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Beth Drake of the Tails Humane Society, thank you so much for being with us today. This Catalyst program sounds marvelous. Now, is it just for teens, or are you going to eventually expand this program for others? For instance, adults that would be interested in helping out or need some help themselves.
Well, that is certainly a possibility. This program is still in its infancy, and so when we are able to branch out a bit, and once we are able to take care of the needs of the teens that need us first, because that's how the program was initially designed, we may be able to increase the scope of the program and involve some younger kids as well as some older kids and then eventually adults. So yeah, that absolutely could happen. It really, for us, depends on our financial resources. That's where we are most limited usually with our programs.
Earlier in the show, you were talking about this one parent that was bringing in their autistic child. And though I was not present, I've heard this just almost brings tears to my eyes every time I hear about it. I've been involved in the past with dog sled racing and mushing. And there was a musher who had actually won the Iditarod several years ago. They have set up these relationships with schools throughout the United States, and the children are able to go online during the Iditarod and track where they're going. And children now involved in geography and learning about animal care and learning how to use the internet. So it's really a very nice program they have set up, and they'll get some sponsorship this way also. The mushers will get money from the kids. They'll raise money because it's a very expensive sport. But this one particular musher winner had been asked to go to a school in the lower 48 and went to the school and was giving the presentation, had some of his dogs there. And at the end of the presentation, the children were up and the adults were chatting with them and just learning more. And there was this one child on the ground just touching one of the sled dogs. And all of a sudden, he realized everyone has stopped talking to him. It's like, huh, that's different. And everyone was paying attention to this child on the floor playing with this dog. And the child was talking to the dog. And all these adults were mesmerized by this. And it's like, excuse me, what's going on? What's so special about this kid talking to a dog? You know, they do it all the time. He goes, oh no, you don't understand. This child has been at the school for years and has never spoken to anyone. But now, because the dog, he said, oh, okay, I can talk to this dog. It understands. So that just amazing. Are there other ways in which you're using some of your dogs and cats there at Tails Humane Society in the community? Are they being used as animal therapy dogs at all?
We do have an animal therapy cat who goes to some of the nursing homes around us. We will occasionally bring bunnies if we can. Bunnies are good therapy animals generally because very few people have allergies to bunnies. So we do try and get out into the community whenever we can and share the love, as they say.
It really can make a difference of having, you know, cats and dogs and bunnies going to adult communities, sometimes these convalescent homes where people are just kind of stuck there and their morale is really poor. I actually know of a cockatoo that was a therapy bird that would do the same thing. So, yes, it's fantastic. Do you see any types of career opportunities coming from this Catalyst program, Catalyst acting as a springboard?
Oh, yeah. These kids are really, they kind of started out being, obviously they were already involved in the Tails volunteer program before the Catalyst program began. So their interest was in animals anyway. But having been involved in this program, they have really blossomed, and they're going to seminars, they're going to conferences, They're, as I said, working with our staff veterinarian to learn. They're not obviously performing surgeries at all, but they're observing surgeries and assisting in little ways when they can. And there is a lot of interest in the majority of these kids in staying in the animal welfare field or the veterinary field. So absolutely. And I think, you know, obviously they've been in the program for about a year. I don't see that they're going to be exiting the program anytime soon unless they move away or something. But they seem to be very, very, very invested in this program. And I would predict that a number of them will continue on in the humane field.
I can imagine that having these youngsters who are just thriving in this program must be a real boost to all of the staff there at the shelter. Because I know a real problem with shelter workers and also just in veterinary practice itself, coming up with this compassion fatigue. You know, you want to be there to help animals, but after a while seeing so many pets come in and sometimes you just can't save them all, it can become very depressive. Are you seeing that these children are helping the staff?
You know, I think it goes both ways. We obviously don't involve them in euthanasias. I don't think they're ready for that. But they are aware that they occur. We are a limited, what is considered a limited admission facility. And so we do not euthanize for space. And what that means is that just because an animal has been here for, you know, a week or 2 weeks or a month or, you know, even a year, we do not euthanize them just because they've been here too long. And that helps with compassion fatigue because it can be very, very difficult emotionally for staff and volunteers to bond with an animal. And if it's an open admission facility, for example, and that animal only has, you know, a month or a week or 2 weeks to get adopted, through no fault of that animal's own, he doesn't get adopted and then he gets euthanized just because he'd been there too long. So that can be very, very difficult in some shelters. We have been fortunate enough not to have to make those kinds of decisions here at Tails, but certainly compassion fatigue still exists. And for us, it usually is caused by the knowledge that the other part of being a limited admission facility is that we turn animals away. And so it's difficult for the staff to constantly have to say no to animals, knowing that those animals don't have a lot of other places to go, and to deal with the sometimes anger of the public that we're not taking the animals in, but our knowledge that if we did take that animal in, it would not be a good thing for the other animals that are currently at the facility. So, you know, the Catalyst kids and the staff both are aware of the kind of circle of life stuff that occurs here at Tails, and I think we all help each other through it. And but I would certainly say that there is the potential for compassion fatigue in any animal welfare organization.
Well, I'm chatting right now with Beth Drake. She's the executive director of Tails Humane Society in DeKalb, Illinois. And one of the questions I have for you, Beth, knowing that you have a limited admission process there at your Humane Society, have you noticed any increase in people needing to bring their animals to you because of these hard economic times? Have you seen a change?
Yeah, we've noticed a 10-15% increase in the request for animals to come into Tails. They don't always say that, oftentimes they say that they're moving. They don't always say that it's because they've been foreclosed on. I think there still is a bit of a stigma attached to people who get foreclosed on. And that may be more of a regional thing, but I can say that around here, it's not something that people are openly talking about. But yes, absolutely, we have seen somewhat of a decline in donations coming to us. We've seen an increase in our supply costs and an increase in the number of animals that we get requests to come into Tails. So it's been kind of a difficult situation dealing with the economy for us, and I think it's probably similar to other organizations throughout our community and as well as throughout the country right now.
Well, you've been telling us about the Catalyst program and animals being brought in. What else do we need to know about Tails Humane Society? What makes you a little bit different besides having this Catalyst program, which is just fantastic?
Well, we have a number of other programs that we offer our community. The Catalyst is one, obviously, but we also have another exciting program that's been extremely well received that's about 2 years old, and that program is called Home Buddies. And that program was formed in a partnership with our local Meals on Wheels program. And if they're not familiar with that, I can describe that very briefly. Meals on Wheels clients are generally elderly, although not all of them, and most of them are homebound. And there is a program called Meals on Wheels that provides hot meals on a daily or weekly basis to clients in their Meals on Wheels program. There's a network of Meals on Wheels volunteer that deliver those meals regularly, and it's oftentimes the only contact that these clients have with somebody besides themselves or besides a home care worker if they have one. What we have done is we've teamed up with our local Meals on Wheels program, and for Meals on Wheels clients who have pets, we provide free pet food, free pet care supplies, and free veterinary care to the pets of Meals on Wheels clients. We also match each Meals on Wheels client that has a pet up with a Home Buddies volunteer who maintains contact with that person and make sure that they have everything that they need for their pet, and we'll pick them up and take them to and from veterinary appointments. Remember, these people are mainly homebound and so often do not have transportation. So it is very helpful to them to get free food and supplies as well as free veterinary care. Most of the animals that are in our program were not receiving appropriate nutrition or veterinary care prior to being in the program. And if there are Meals on Wheels clients who don't currently have a pet but who would like one and who can care for one, we will match them up with a Home Buddies volunteer who will work with them to find a tails adoptable animal that suits their lifestyle. And then we waive the adoption fee, and then they become part of the Home Buddies program. So that's another program that we offer our community that's kind of designed to bring people and pets together, and as well as always looking out for the welfare of the animals.
Beth, that is fantastic. I didn't know you had that program. And I know it's so common where you'll have these housebound people who are getting their Meals on Wheels, and I've had friends of the family who've used the service, and there's enough food to keep a person comfortable. They're not going to be gaining weight on it. But so many times people have found that when there's a pet in the house, oh, I'll split my meal and I'll give some of my food to my dog or my cat. So
neither one of them gets good nutrition, right?
Exactly. So this is fantastic. This must be a fairly pricey type of a program for you. How are you funding this?
Well, we receive no government funding. At least in the state of Illinois, there is no government funding for private humane societies, which is what TAILS is. And so we rely completely on donations. We do receive a few grants. They tend to be fairly small in size, and they come from private foundations. So the Home Buddies program for the 2 years of its existence so far has been funded by grant money. But we are always looking for donations. And we are able to keep the costs down through a couple of ways. One is that we receive and we solicit donations of pet food and pet supplies at local retail centers throughout our community. So that keeps our costs down so we don't have to buy pet food and pet supplies to supply to the clients of this program. We also utilize the time and resources of our staff veterinarian, so we are able to keep our costs down in the veterinary side as well. So, yeah, it does tend to be a bit on the pricey side, but it is very much worth it, as I think any of the participants would tell you.
Well, Beth Drake, the Executive Director of TAILS Humane Society in DeKalb, Illinois, if somebody wanted to volunteer with you or somebody wanted to go ahead and send you some money because you've tugged on their heartstrings and they go, yes, I need to help out, where can they call for more information or where can they send money?
Well, there are two good places to go. One is the easiest online is on our website, which is www.tailshumanesociety.org. And our phone number is area code 815-758-2457 or 75TAILS.
Well, I just think I've learned so much. I think you have a fantastic organization that's really helping out everything from the teens to the seniors. So you're taking care of all of them and, of course, the pets in between. We'll be talking today with Beth Drake, the Executive Director of TAILS Humane Society in DeKalb, Illinois. I'm Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Hopefully you learned a little bit today and were entertained, because that's always our goal, to educate and to motivate you to be the best pet owner that you can be. If you ever have questions about your own pet's health, the best person to chat with is going to be your primary care veterinarian. But if you have questions, you can also go to our website and send me an email. I'll always answer it for you. And I'm hoping that you'll listen to again next week, when we have some more information, how to make you the perfect pet owner when you're there in your veterinary office, because sometimes that can be a little bit intimidating. So how to get the most out of your veterinary visit. So thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned next week, when we'll be having more information on The Pet Doctor. Take care. Bye-bye.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.